down at least one question. Even if you can't think of anything, write down anything. Something. Just put it here. I'll start only after at least half of you have brought something. Any thoughts about the last lecture or anything at all? But please write something. Any question about any topic? ਭਗਤ ਸਿੰਘ ਜੀ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਆ ਜਾਓ। ਅੱਛਾ again, even if you can't think of a question, just pick a word that you know in a Japji Sahib that you don't know the meaning of, or something, anything. But a question from each person is what I'm hoping I'll get. At least one. Whatever questions I don't get to, if by chance I don't get to all of them, I'll put them into the question box. We'll start off with the first question that I had from yesterday. Did Guru Nanak Sahib say that all religions lead to God? If so, why do good people from other religions need to take birth and go sick? This is probably one of the biggest misconceptions we have in Sikhi. That amongst our youth, that we think that all religions lead to God. Not all religions want to go to God. We've talked about this quite a few times, I guess. But not all religions want to go to God. Some looking for paradise and 72 virgins and rivers of milk and all this. They're not looking for union with God. So, not all, for example, the Jain religion. Guru Sahib has actually not spoken very highly of the Jain religion at all. Guru Sahib says, "Ek Jaini ujjar paahe," that there lost completely in the wilderness. And it talks about how they go to the bathroom and then they start holding it, they like take it apart and then they sniff it. And Gusan says that, what stupidity is this? How are they going to find God by doing something like this? Gurbani tells us that these sort of religious acts are not going to lead to God. So not all religions lead to God. So why do good people in other religions need to take birth and go sick? Some spiritual people that have been born in other religions, like Sufis or some others, they realize that there is a God and that there's a need to meet Vaheguru. But they have no way to do it through their own religion. And that's why these bugs need to be born again as Gosikhs to get love. Like, I use the example of the yogi Santokh, who had been waiting for many, many, many years, sitting just in deep meditation, waiting for Gurbani to give him love. I hope that answers the question. Does anyone have any questions about that? Guru Sahib never said there is no Hindu and there is no Muslim. The only thing Gurbani says that's even similar is, I am not Hindu and not Muslim. Naam Hindu, naam Muslim. But nowhere did Guru Nanak say in Bani, there is no Hindu, there is no Muslim. Next question. This is a little bit of a sensitive topic, but the Singhs have asked that if I ever get these sort of questions, that I should, within reasonable means, try to answer them. Is birth control after marriage allowed? From what I understand from other Gosikhs, that birth control after marriage is not allowed. That having children is something that's up to Vaheguru. That using contraceptives, all the Gosikhs that I know have said that it's not something that is acceptable. Feel free to question or answer. I won't be offended with your question. I know some people probably are wondering what this guy talking about. So I'd be more than happy to explain further, since I myself feel uncomfortable going further if no one's asking. Your teacher. Marriage is a tool that helps us overcome kama. It's according to the Gosikhs again that I've talked to, I'm not married and I really have no serious interest in this, but I have heard other Gosikhs discussing it, that marriage is a tool that we have in our household life to overcome kama. And that if you try and escape kama by never getting married, that it just increases. So if someone feels the urge to do that within marriage, that Gosikhs have said it's okay. Just as long as you aren't making it recreational solely by using contraceptives. Because the main reason we do this is, again, to have children. And we can't control how many children we have anyways. That's up to Vaheguru. For example, some Gosikhs have been married for many, many years, but they only have 2 kids. And other Gosikhs have been married only 5 or 6 years, and they have already 3 or 4 kids. So it just depends on how many kids Vaheguru has intended for you. And frankly, good family, big families are good. Look at the Muslims, they're increasing so much because they have big families. And us six, we're stuck with the general 2 kids, max 3. So, Professor Uday Singh is a Gosikh there in Toronto. And he always is telling everyone to have as many children as possible. Uncomfortably so. He went to Kubir Singh. ਸ਼ੱਕ ਪੈਣ ਸੀ ਕੰਟਰਸੈਪਟ ਵਰਤ ਦੀਆਂ ਦੋ ਬੱਚੇ 10 ਸਾਲ ਹੋ ਗਏ ਕੀ ਕਰਦੇ ਕੁਬੀਰ ਸਿੰਘ ਐਟ ਐਕਸਪਲੇਨ ਨੋ ਨੋ ਵਟ ਹੈਪਨਸ ਟੂ ਦੋਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਹੈਵ ਡਨ ਰੋਂਗ ਥਰੂ ਲਾਈਫ ਬਟ ਦੇ ਡਾਈਡ ਐਜ਼ ਅ ਮਾਰਟਰ ਆਈ ਥਿੰਕ ਵੀ ਹੈਵ ਟੂ ਅੰਡਰਸਟੈਂਡ ਵਟ ਅ ਮਾਰਟਰ ਇਜ਼ ਮੇਬੀ ਸਮ ਪੀਪਲ ਆਰ ਥਿੰਕਿੰਗ ਅਬਾਊਟ ਦ ਸ਼ਹੀਦਸ ਬਿਟਵੀਨ 1978 ਅਪ ਟੂ 95 ਔਰ ਇਵਨ ਪਾਸਟ. A lot of innocent Sikhs died in those years. Countless, 250,000 maybe. But not all of them were Shaheeds. Just because you're killed for being a Sikh doesn't necessarily make you a Shaheed. A Shaheed is a Shaheed, no matter, I guess, if you kill for being a Sikh, it's not a bad karma, it's a good karma. And I'm sure that those people will have the opportunity to become Sikhs in the next life. But a Shaheed, in the true Gurmat sense of the word, is that person who is a good Sikh the Guru Sahib will then get born and they'll go to Sachkhand. And I mentioned this before, but I'll say it again for those that missed it. I asked a Singh that I consider one of the most spiritual Singhs I've ever met in my life, what a Shaheed is all about and what happens to a Shaheed. And he said, in his last moments, when he's about to die, that Shaheed has to understand that whatever he's going through and whatever he's suffering, he has no power. It's only Guru Sahib is taking him through it. If he's doing it through his own stubbornness, that main suffer kar raha hoon, and I'm the one that's not speaking, I'm the one that's enduring all this, then that's not the proper way to do it. That it has to surrender completely to Guru Sahib and say, whatever Guru Sahib does now is up to him. And that person has to be Amritari and have Naam. And with the power of Naam, Guru Sahib himself will make that Shaheed jap Naam at his last moment. And right before his Shaheedi, his death, even if he didn't have Jot Vigas, if he didn't see the divine light of Vaheguru in his life through Bhakti, in his last moment, Guru Sahib will do Kirpa and show him Jot Vigas. This is what a Gursikh said to me. Again, I keep mentioning this book every workshop, but if you want to know what Jot Vigas is, the only book that you can read that gives you any idea is Paisa's book, Jot Vigas.
Yeah,
Shaheed just means someone that died for a principle. Muslims have Shaheeds, India as a nation has Shaheeds. But a Sikh Shaheed is one that died for a Sikh principle while living a good Sikh life. And a Shaheed...
And the Ika is here, so right. He become a Shaheed,
right.
And his books are read.
Right. A good Sikh that breaks his rah,
yeah,
to, for any reason, can't be a Shaheed. It's something that any one of us might do. If I'm in that position, who knows what I would do. But it doesn't make it okay. It's still a compromise. Like by Taru Singh, maybe we would understand that he's being faced with being scalped and he's allowed to go free if he just cuts his hair. We might understand on a logical level that he would say, fine, I'll cut my hair and I'll grow it back later. And maybe I wouldn't even blame him. But he's a Shaheed because he stood there and he said, I don't care what happens. I'll accept my death, but I'm not going to compromise my principle. That's what a Shaheed is. Not compromising an inch. Because nothing's worth your sikhi. Nothing. Benji, Jot Vigas is something that only someone that experienced it can know. But that book is the closest you can get to knowing. It's downstairs in the langar. And it's got a whole... That section changed my life. There's a separate set of poetry that Paisa has written called Jot Vigas. And that's just poetry that Paisa has had. But he describes having Jot Vigas in that autobiography. What is the difference between a Sant and the Gursikh? Bani emphasizes that both need to simmer in Naam 24/7. Why is it that there are some Jathas that don't believe in Sant and refer to Guru Granth Sahib via the Sant?
Guru Granth Sahib, you can't, that's our Guru, you can't refer to that as a Sant. From my little knowledge, I feel that when it comes to the mention of Sant in Gurbani, it refers to Gursikhs, leading a Gursikhi life, following Guru's will. For someone to even, it depends on each individual, but my personal feeling is that no matter how, like Vaidhan Deesan was given the, was one of the first Gursikhs to be given the title of Sant by the Granth, but he refused to use that as a name for it. It can bring ego into yourself, you know, thinking that some, you know, whatever your name is and blah blah blah. So, but your aim is you know, not just to be people fall in the trap of being called something, they think that's it, we've achieved, you know, we've got this much Sangha following us and this, that, the other. I feel that it's a big trap for someone to actually have the title of Sant on them, because your goal should be somewhere, you know, somewhere for the bigger picture is to get to Vaheguru. If you can elaborate on this, that must be.
There's a book called Sant Pad Nirnay by Paisa Ji Singh. there was the Sant movement was just growing in Paisa's time, Paisa passed away in 1960, and he wrote a book explaining all the different types of meanings Sant can have in Bani. Usually Sant means Gursikh. If a Gursikh is keeping red and he's following his Gursikh path, it's okay to consider him a Sant. Sat Sangat is a group of Sants. Secondly, Sant sometimes can also refer to Gursikh as well. That I met a Sant and I got Naam from him. That doesn't mean some Sant, Lallu Panju Sant, walking around. That means Gursikh, when there's a singular Sant. Like Santi Mant Diyo Mohe Nirpo. Give me the mantra. Sant, give me the mantra. This isn't just referring to go to any Sant and get the mantra. The only Sant that can give us a mantra is Guru Granth Sahib Ji, Guru Nanak Dev Ji. So, why don't some devotees believe in Sant? Today we have so many Sants out there, and right away if you call yourself a Sant, you'll have five people that don't even know you. You could be the most lecherous and dirty person out there, but if you have Sant X Singh Ji, people automatically say, oh, Sant, yeah, Sant ki ninda chane na ka, it was Sant di ninda ni ka. And right away, you are made something. I told you about the Sant, Bizara Baba. I told, I think, everyone that he was an unemployed person. And he went to a nearby village and he sat under a tree with white clothes. And people came to him, Sant di ki ka there. And he started giving visas. And for 2 weeks, he had lineup of people asking for visas to UK and Canada. And he became rich. After 2 weeks, no one was going to get a visa, so he left. And that's it. It was a business. So the whole concept of Sant is not healthy. If someone is a Sant, they won't want to be called a Sant. What do you gain by being called a Sant? Most Gursikhs that are spiritually high, they won't want anyone to know about it. The Gursikh that I've met, that I consider the most spiritual Gursikhs, they make a point of staying humble and hiding what they are. They might, for example, this Gursikh that I think is a Jyotirgasi. If you ask him about Naam, he goes, Naam edda japana chahida, keko ar na, ki vi dao ke kari chalo, koi rokna ni den ra. But he naari kain deya, aur appa tak kar ni sake, ki ye janstas meto ta khoya ni, par edda karna chahida, naari edda kain deya. And he doesn't wear any different clothes, he dresses just like another Gursikh. So, Sant is a very big disease, and that's why Sant Jathebandis are very anti, even the title Sant. Sikhi believe we should worship only God, but some Sikhs say that they want to remain in the Chandra Guruji. Are they worshipping Guru and not God? Anyone have any comments on this? There's other Gursikhs here that I'm sure know about this sort of thing. We read always, we hear this slok a lot, Gurudev Mata, Gurudev Pita, Gurudev Swami Parmeshwara, and it says Gurudev is everything. Guru Nanak Dev Ji is the Guru Roop of Vaheguru. Aap Narayan Kalata Ajag Main Parvariya. That Vaheguru himself created a Guru form of himself to link the world to himself, and that was Guru Nanak. If you have an ocean, Vaheguru is the ocean. And if you take a bucket out of the ocean, that would be like a Gursikh that's one with God, or Guru Sahib even. Because you can't say that Guru Nanak Dev Ji was God in the sense that all expansive God, but he was God in the sense that he was the same as God, same one with God. Does that make sense? But, right. So God and Guru are the same thing. Worshipping Guru Granth Sahib Ji and worshipping God is the same thing, because you're worshipping the same God, the same person, the same quality. If my answers are ever ambiguous, you don't understand, or you don't agree, again, please put up your hands. If you don't join the Khalsa but you committed no sin, i.e. ate meat, can you be forgiven? Oh, wait. If you want to join the Khalsa but you have committed sin, i.e. ate meat, can you be forgiven? Or would you suffer hell reincarnation with animals, it would be born back to humans with bad karma. That's the amazing thing about Amrit. Guru Sahib has promised you a new janam. Satgur ka janam hai gavan mataya. That's what the line with Panchayam Viti once you received Amrit. Satgur ka janam hai gavan mataya. It means Satguru has destroyed your coming and going. With Amrit, your old karma washed away. You have a new janam. You still have to suffer some consequences for those karma that you have to suffer. But for the most part, it's a new start. Panchayare that follow Prabhupada Maryada won't give Amrit to a mona. For example, if someone has been keeping case for 2 weeks and they want to receive Amrit, Panchayare that know about death, know about Gurma, and aren't interested in just creating numbers, they'll say, come back when you have long enough case to make a Juda. Because if you have just a cut, then this might be just a whim that you have. Who knows if you're really going to be dedicated? Because we all have whims. A mona might say, you know, I'm going to keep my case. And then the next 2 weeks later say, well, it was a bad idea. So someone couldn't do that. They cut their case and they say, I'll be taking Amrit later. But if you want to take Amrit later, why are you cutting your case now anyways? What you can do now, do it now. Who knows if you're going to live to see tomorrow. Would that person be a serious spiritual seeker?
Yeah.
That person wouldn't be a serious. Because someone that has power, Guru Sahib, even before they take Amrit is a formal commitment, but even before that, they're scared of dishonoring the Nanak Dev. Fear in Sikhi is different than fear in any other religion. Fear in Islam and Christianity is fear of being struck down, fear of being cast into hell. Fear in Sikhi is the same fear that a husband might have while walking with his wife, that if I look somewhere else I might get caught and she'll be upset with me. Or a son might have of going out and dishonoring his father. That if I do something, people are going to blame my father and say, look what he did. That you don't want to lose the love of your father. That's the type of fear you have in Sikhi. And that's the type of fear that you should have before you shut down. Not that, I'm going to get blasted, I'm going to totally just cause the karma. But I've heard of people like this. It's not unique. Some people do that. But I don't consider them spiritual seekers. Is all of Dasam Granth authentic? I've heard that some of the body contained there is not written by Guru. I think they meant Guru Gobind Singh Ji. And there's, therefore, is not Bani. I also heard that there are some quite vulgar and explicit verses in there. Is this true? Dasam Granth is a collection of writings that were collected after Guru Gobind Singh Ji's leaving this world. A lot of what Guru Gobind Singh Ji wrote was lost when he left Anandpur Sahib. It was lost in the satsang. But whatever was left over by Mani Singh, he collected and put into one granth. And there is some debate in the Panth over if all of it is by Guru Gobind Singh Ji, if some is by poets in the Dibbad. But there's somebody that no one can doubt. For example, Akal Ustad Jab Sahib, Swayi Zaro Akal Ustad. Our nitname, whatever is from Dasam Bani in our nitname, there's no doubt about it. The only thing that some people question is, there's some translations of Hindu scriptures that Guru Gobind Singh Ji did. And a lot of those Sikhs, including myself, think that it's like a translation that Guru Sahib offered for academic purposes, but it's not really that Guru Sahib was worshipping the Devi, of course not, because he's already said so many times that I don't worship the Devi. It's just for academic purposes to make these previously forbidden scriptures, these hidden scriptures, available for everyone, just for knowledge. But there's no firm decision in the Panth. But those people that say that no Vani in Dasam Granth is authentic, and they're completely wrong. As for the explicit verses, these are called Chitrapakhyan, and they're stories of how men and women trick the world. And yes, there's some things that are explicit, but just like we were able to discuss adult things here that we wouldn't be able to discuss with children, just possible Guru Gobind Singh wanted to talk about adult situations and how to handle them with his Gosikhs. But I don't know. I personally am satisfied with Guru Granth Sahib Ji and whatever Bani is an unwritten name, Akalastas and stuff like that. I don't really worry about these sort of things. I spoke yesterday with Lali Das Luke in this workshop, and I really feel passionate about this topic, and I'll speak briefly about it again now. When Guru Granth Sahib Ji was written, scribed by Guru Arjan Dev Ji, it was unbroken. Same when Guru Gobind Singh Ji did, unbroken words. Wish I had. Okay. This is an example of Bani, how it appears today in most Guru Granth Sahibs. See how there's spaces between the words? These spaces have been made by academics and by publishers. When it was written by Guru Sahib, there were no spaces. It was all linked. And the reader himself learned how to read this and where to make the breaks. But as we know, Guru Granth Sahib starts with Ikko Ankar Satnam. One Gurkha will have Ikko Ankar Satnam. Another Gurkha will have Ikonkar Satna, one word. So which one is right? Gurbani is never wrong. Guru Sahib is never wrong. But one of those is wrong. Either it's Satnam or it's Satnam. So these publishers have A, thought they're smarter than Guru Sahib and decided to break these words up. And B, they've made one Guru Granth Sahib wrong. And Guru Granth Sahib can't be wrong. So the Puran Jyot of Guru Granth Sahib Ji, the right Sarup, is the unbroken word. Because with that, you have to learn the grammar that is taught downstairs. And once you learn the grammar, you can understand the meanings. Like, Onkarandanam Satanam, it's pronounced Satanam, right? But has anyone wondered why there's an Onkarandanam under the mamma, Satanamo? That Onkar indicates a singular noun. Asehari can mean in, within, like andar, bahar. It's a very big topic. But because of Padchet, no one goes into this anymore, these broken words. So someone asked, shall I matha teg to a Padchet through? And I said, well, of course you can, because that's, you know, Gurbani. But Guru Granth Sahib Ji's Puran Jyot, the Puran Jyot of Guru Granth Sahib Ji is with the Ladi Das Sarup, the unbroken form that Guru Gobind Singh Ji gave us, not what Jata Singh, Jeevan Singh publishers in Amritsar decided to create and give to us, or what some other group of publishers decided to give to us. Because when I'm reading Bani, I can make a mistake, and that's my mistake. But if I'm reading what's written there already broken, then that's a mistake in Guru Sahib, and Guru Sahib is never wrong. Does that make sense? Please, can you explain the controversy surrounding Rag Mala and whether we should do it?
Yeah, that's a big controversy. And
I'll be frank, I don't read Rag Mala. And I think there's sufficient proof to say that it's not Bani. But everyone has to come to their own conclusions and do their own research. And if someone does read it, I don't consider them any less than any other Gosik. My own opinion, and everyone is free to form their own. If someone wants to discuss the more intricate details of why I believe what I believe, they're free to do so with me at any time. I don't mind. But everyone has to read their own material and form their own opinions. But there should never ever be anything that Rag Mala Nahi Padhta and he's not a Gosikh and I'm not going to consider him a Sikh, or that person does read Rag Mala, what an idiot. There's always the pyar between Gosikhs, no matter what the opinions they have. Because once you lose the pyar, then why is Guru Sahib going to give us pyar? Only when we have love between each other are we going to get anywhere. How can we have ekta in the pant? And what proactive steps can be taken? Ekta and the Panth. The Panth hasn't been won for so long now. And I don't think anyone even remembers when there was Ekta and the Panth. Anyone have any ideas? This is not my Panth home, this is your Panth. How do you think you can have Ekta?
I don't know.
Any ideas how?
well, we should stop. We should stop. Like the whole Chittagong issue. People are always saying, "Oh, I'm from NKJ. He's from Paksal. He's this. He's that." They should stop identifying others as identifying Chittagongs are at all. I think. I mean, I don't like it when people say, "Oh, you would like you're a Chittagong, you're a Paksali, you're that issue like that." It's I don't get it. There we're dividing ourselves because it is. Why are we? Why have we separated ourselves at this point? Why are we saying why are the things saying the Sami is concentrate too much of this and the Sami is saying that all you got to do is just to keep it? That's what's causing the division. I know there's other reasons as well, but I would like there to be just abolished. Not say abolished thinly, but just to everyone to just agree that we are part of one group, we're not separate, we're not, like people asking yesterday, where should I go to take Amrit? You should go to your Gurdwara, you're not going to go to, the Singh's house, you're going to go to the Panch Pyar to take Amrit, you're not going to a Kirtan Tower, you're not going to a Taksali's special Baba or anything like that. I know it's quite controversial views and everything, but when people ask who, where, you should go to Panch Pyar to take Amrit. You're not going to five specific.
So if you're confident in them, maybe you might see them Panch Pyar around in your town or your area.
Yeah.
And you have the confidence in them because maybe you might hear them speak in about terms and then they're representing the Panch Pyar, on the day that you're going to take.
So you should just see Panch Pyar as Panch Pyar as five good six, not five. But Sunday goes 6 or 5.
Yeah, say you're wondering, right? Say you leave you get to Qatar, but then you're going to get Amrit from the local Panchgarh, and they tell you it's gay. You're going to have to accept what the Panchgarh is, but then that's what people are saying. Well, where should you get Amrit from? Because it's from
Panchgarh. I believe wherever the Panchgarh tell you, you should leave with the Panchgarh tell you. You should never doubt what the Panchgarh tell you.
For example, for myself, when I was 15, I had no idea what a Jathebandi was. I knew about personality like Sanjay Nail Singh, he was my idol. But I decided I'm going to go to Shakam with that great Gates Gursa, birthplace of the Khalsa. And they told me, you eat meat, it's fine, it's up to you. And I ate meat after that. And they didn't even tell me what Amrit Vela was. I had no idea what Amrit Vela was. My Mathi asked, so you're going to get up in the morning? I said, why would I get up in the morning? That doesn't make any sense. She said, go and say khotde hunde ya. And my Nana goes, go ahead, question you. I found out what Amrit Vela was by reading books and stuff. But the Panch Pyar did me a disservice by not telling me any of this. And for a whole year and a half, I did nothing. So I wish it was that easy. But sometimes the Panch Pyar, for example, there's a BB that told us about a Nanak Sagota that I told you yesterday, that Hanji, Amrit Shakana, you go there, Amrit Shakana. Acha, Opai, Amrit Nayai Pichho. And they bring you a jar, and they pull the amrit out of the jar, it's ready made, you're done. So is that amrit? The big problem now is most Amrit Sanchars don't even have Gursab there, like I mentioned. Lari Das Loop is used in very few Amrit Sanchars. Secondly, unfortunately, the situation is as such that the Panch Pyar sometimes lack character himself. And it just, I don't know, it seems like an injustice that one set of Panch Pyar in Gursab Juri will tell you one thing and another set of Panch Pyar in Gursab Juri will tell you another. But it just means that you have to do your own research. There are quote unquote wrong Amrit Sanchars out there, it's a fact. And for example, SDO, he was kicked out of the bunk, and I think he's back now. But his whole Amrit Sanchar is he picks five guys out of the people there, went pantry, whatever, grabbed the bartender Khanda, and all five just gather around. We make a mantra sometimes with Bani. He just does nam. All five just do nam in it, and we pass the card down around. It's done. And that's done in Guru Sahib's duty too. But is that amrit? I don't think so. That's absolutely not amrit. I don't know.
Should it be like a sort of like supreme authority, which actually maybe become a fine player, you have to go say when you to run the tag and then you're registered as a fine player in that particular area or particular country or whichever town, and there has to be some kind of, you know, you have to prove yourself. I don't know if that's the right word, but you know, you have to do what I'm.
We don't have any institution like that. Akal Takht hires people to be panchayat. For example, the proper maryada for an Amrit Sanchar is the entire Sangat gathers. And this happens at Gondar Tapu South, so I can tell you how it works. The entire Sangat gathers, and the Sangat then says, the Granthi Singh goes, we're having an Amrit Sanchar. Who in the Sangat would like to volunteer a name? You can't volunteer yourself. But you have to say, I think Pai X Singh over there has good rat, and I think he would make a good panchayat. And I think BB Y God over there would be a good candidate. And then once all the names are read, everyone else leaves, and those people that were named stay. And each one is then asked about the rat, about the Amrit Vela, about the body, the reading, about their lifestyle. And if then someone qualifies, is at the top of the group, if they're selected. It's a long procedure. And then they again ask about their lifestyle. Again, this takes at least 2 or 3 hours at minimum to do sudai, just to create the panchayat. But most people don't even have that. They just already have ready-made assigned positions. You will come today. We have your own sudai. What can be done? I don't know. What I would suggest, though, is if you're going to Shaq Amrit, then be very careful. Ask people that you trust, where should I go in Shaq Amrit? Because it's a life-changing decision. But don't be disheartened as well, that there's so much confusion. It just means that you have to work harder for it. This is Kaljog. Kaljog is going to get worse and worse. And finding Vaiguru is probably going to get harder and harder. But if you do it last, then Guru Sahib is going to guide you. And Rag Kirtan. I support Rag Kirtan. I think Rag Kirtan is very, very important. I think it's part of Sikh culture and tradition. But at the same time, if someone doesn't know Rag Kirtan, I won't say, Tu Kirtan Ika Sada. Someone doesn't know Rag Kirtan, then do whatever Kirtan you know. But Rag Kirtan is a tradition that we should all strive to learn, I think.
So does that mean if somebody knows Rag Kirtan, they should do Rag Kirtan in preference to some of the other
tradition? If they know the Shabd and the Rag that Shabd is in, then what would be more beautiful than seeing it in the Rag that it was received in? Is there life on other planets? Yes. Guru Nanak Dev Ji has said, Patal na patal na tha gash ya gash. Spiritual Guru Sikhs like Pai Savanti Singh have said that Guru Nanak not only visited this planet. I read this lake and I was amazed. It like boggles the mind. That Guru Nanak visited other planets. And there's Sikhs on other galaxies and there's Sikhs in this universe and other places. But just think about that. The history of the Sikhs on some other planet is going to be different than the one here. The way the Panchayati maybe were created here is going to be different there. But Guru Sahib has said from the very start that there's life on other planets, there's countless planets, which is different than all the other Semitic religions and Islam and all that, which put a set number on where humans are and how many planets there are. But again, this is not something that we should really concern ourselves with. What does Sikhi say about
RVS?
I don't know any of these contractions. Oh, Tika, Tika. Test tube babies, okay. I really don't know much about in vitro fertilization. I think that if it involved removing any hair or something like this, then that would probably be wrong. But you know what? I've seen Guru Sikhs. I know cases of Guru Sikh BB that have been quote unquote barren. And one Bibi did a job of the shabd, Suke Hare Kiye Kinmane. And this shabd she read every day, and she was quite old even. And she ended up having children. Bani can give you children like this. Adas by Gostek and doing Fark. If you really want to have children and you're having trouble, then I'm certain that it's possible through Bani to have this happen.
But you're not saying with Bani, if a woman can get have a child, it's possible, so we should detect it and not try and do something about it. We don't need that test to be needed.
But we have examples of, for example, Mata Sulakhani Ji. She couldn't have children. And she approached, she knew Guru Har Gobind Sahib was going past her area. And she approached Guru Har Gobind Sahib, and he was on his horse. And he said, Satguru, I don't have any children. And Guru Sahib said, Bibi tere matthe te likhya nahi koi bachcha. And she was heartbroken. And she went back crying. And she said to the Sikh that told her to go there, Guru Sahib said, I don't have any children written. You said Guru Sahib can give me anything. And Guru Sikh advised her that if he says this next time, you go again. And if he says it again, you say, Guru Sahib, jinne likhna si, utte tusi likh sakde si, hun thalle vi likh do, utte nahi si likhe, hun likh do. It wasn't written above, before my birth, but write it now. So she went again, and she asked again for a child. Guru Har Gobind Sahib said, likhe nahi. And she said this, that if you didn't write it before, then write it now. Guru Sahib was happy with this response. So he took a piece of paper, and in Gurbani, Ekka is like this, right? Like this. And as Guru Sahib was writing one son, Guru Sahib's horse stopped his foot, and it became a seven, like this. And Mataji had seven children. And there's a Gurdwara Sahib, so there's a Gurdwara Sahib, and all the locals remember the story, so I've been to that Gurdwara Sahib. It's not just a fable. Guru Sahib can change anyone's destiny. Is there any benefits from reading Ragmala? And why is Ragmala part of Sri Guru Granth Sahib? Again, I've addressed Ragmala, and I personally haven't felt or understand any benefit from it. And I think it was added afterwards, but everyone has to come to their own conclusion. And if someone doesn't agree with me, then I respect that decision as well. You read it. That's the best advice I can give you. Read it yourself, look at the translation, and see what you think. And if you feel the spiritual benefit from it, and you feel that this is Guru Bani talking to you, then what more can I say?
Do you think it should be included in every surah? When you read it, should it be in every surah?
There's a hukam from Akal Takht Sahib that it has to be in every surah. So I can't say anything further about that. There's so many different bandis and sampradayas in the pan, which have different views on important issues such as sants, meat eating, kaisi as a kakar, with jathas bashing each other's views, which does not accord with Sikhi principles. This is so confusing for you when they come into Sikhi. What are your views? We have so much in common. I might not agree with everything a Nanak Sari agrees with, or I might not agree with everything that a Taksali agrees with, but what we have in common is so much bigger than what we have in terms of differences. If we're open-minded, for example, there was a time when I believed the case was a kakar and I believed that Ragmara was Bani, and I called myself a Taksali. I called myself a Taksali at one point. And people spoke with me, and I did my own research, and I changed my views. But if we just automatically, and I'm willing to still discuss anything with anybody, and maybe what I believe now might be wrong about Ragmara or whatever. But once we close our minds that I know what's right, and that's it, and that's when we have friction. Oh, just you go to the extreme of saying what I believe is right and everyone else is manma. If you have differences between each other, the only way to get over differences is doing bani together. Which brings me to another important point. I talked to Gosiks about building friendships and having good relationships with your husband or wife after marriage. If you want to build a relationship with anybody, the most successful way, and I've tested this myself, is just to do bani with them. If a husband and wife do a sahaj paath and a nitnem together every day, there's no way that they'll ever have any trouble in their marriage. Guaranteed. There was a saying that same jathebandi as me, same jatha, we used to go to the same Gurdwara Sahib, but for whatever reason he used to really dislike me and I used to like kind of get irritated by him. He used to be too nitpicky for my liking. But we used to go to the same university even. We didn't necessarily like hate each other, not get along. We were just, you know, irritated by each other. But we came and we started doing part from Sundar Gotka. And we just kept going and we ended up finishing the entire Sundar Gotka. And I swear to you, after that, any negativity from my mind was gone and his was gone as well. And that proved to me that Bani can build a strong relationship between any two people. And afterwards, Guru Siksa told me this marriage advice, that make sure you do Bani with your spouse. And that'll build something strong. The importance of Raag Kirtan. So, like I said before, if someone can do Raag Kirtan, I encourage them to learn and also to do it. But there's a difference between Shastri Raag Kirtan and Gurmat Raag Kirtan. Is there anyone here that knows about the difference? Because I know very little. Panji, do you know the difference between Shastri Raag and Gurmat Raag? It's not Gurmat. If you listen to Puratan Kirtani, they might use Raag, but their Raag doesn't have like distracting stuff like this, Sare Ga Pa 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 stuff. It's not there. And even Gurmat Raag, Asa in Gurmat is a little bit different than the Shastri Asa. And the Zags in Gurmat that aren't present anywhere else. So don't think that the Indian Raag system is the same as the Gurmat one. Because the Gurmat one, the words of the Raag that are being sung in the Raag are what's important. The music is not important. But in Shastri, the music is all important and whatever you sing in it is just old night, whatever. Having listened to the importance of Laridas Rupa, his own Guru Sahib's Rupa as Guru Gobind Singh he intended to be, made me think about Kirtan tradition. Some do Siddha Sadhana Kirtan, others Akhand Kirtan style. How important is that? Again, this brought up Sadhana Kirtan. Sadhana Kirtan doesn't make any sense to me. There's a saying that went to an Anandkar that was done by a Sant Baba. And think about it, Lama in Sadhana. Pehle lav mere satgur ne chalai, pehle lav, and it didn't have any bani, and once the lav was finished, just as an afterthought, he read, you know, pehle lav, for vikti ka dada hai bala amdi. But for the entire lav, when they were walking, he was singing his own poetry. And that doesn't make any sense to me. If there's bani, and we believe in the magical importance of bani, magical power of bani, this is not just words, this is something very powerful, then why are we making up our own tunes and interfering with the words and, you know, splitting it up like that? It just doesn't make any sense to me. Gurbani can speak to anybody. If you want to do that, do it in katha or something. But when you're mixing kirtan and your own poetry, it just totally disrespects Bani, in my opinion. Others, again, if you have a different opinion and you want to debate it, you're free to do so. Sarvam Vivek Guruji's Hukam was an extension of that. I feel that Sarvam is Guru Sahib's Hukam, but it's one of many Hukams. There's some young people I know in England and even in Canada that have made Sarvam, you know, the center of Sikhi. The center of Sikhi is Naam. And if you're not getting up at Amrit Vela and you're not doing Bani and you're not jumping Naam, then Sarvam Vivek is not going to do anything for you. It's just going to give you homework. If you're not doing anything beyond Nitanem and you're not getting up Ramad Vera, then Sarvam is not doing you any good, really. I'm not saying stop. I'm saying it's not really, you're not getting the benefit out of it. Sarvam is a Rev, and it has such a vibration that it does affect your jiva, and it does make changes in you. But if you're not getting up at Ramad Vera and you're doing all the others and you're not doing all the other stuff, it's not going to do you any good. Raf is a fence. Raf is a fence that we have around our garden. The garden is Naam and Bani. And the fence of Raf is to protect it from being eaten by any predators, being stolen. But if there's nothing in the garden, then what good is the fence? Right? But Sarvam Vivek, I feel, is a hukum of Guru Sahib. But whoever can keep it should definitely keep it. Did you want to?
The thing about eating is that in this vessel in our body, we want to make amrit and to preserve that amrit, we want to stop eating bad things eaten by manmukhs. make a bhajan and look in from outside, so you should only eat from people that have that and leaders of the amateur. But it's the funky and Maharaj Panda, so you guys could be those day bhajan. In India, it's Panda, on the way when you make dain, you have that panda sleeping, and then when you put a dog in it, and then or the tida, then we can. If a dain bhajan, then also bhajan makhani bhajan. It's another way of saying that the same thing is in this vessel we want amrit to reside in our body. So for amrit to reside in our body, we have to make sure that we don't put bad stuff into our body. So if we go and eat from other the local chip shop and the bloke, he does a green fine, he's a manmok. You're putting bad elements into your body, so you're making it harder for, especially if you're Ramadhani. You have to keep the body clean, and Guru Sahib Sokhan says that Roti, the Gveti Lisan, is a Kanarakani, which means that you should, the marriage and the Roti Lisan, eating your food, should be within blessings. So I think it's a very important.
Can I suggest one? I've seen, I don't want to say it, but it's like comment. I've seen some of those things. They like expect, like when you put to the book, they expect to have sadhana, to longer served by some of those things, basically hope for that. Do you think that's right? Do you think that sadhana Singh should make his own longer, as that is the whole part of the big, they make their own longer?
You go to a langar, and I think if you're expecting there to be a sarvlo langar there, you're probably fooling yourself.
No,
and if someone's going into the langar, haan ji sarvlo the langar tayar hoya, it's probably just for his own home that he's asking.
Yeah.
But I don't see anything wrong either if someone is staying at a gurdwara's house and making their own langar. There's nothing wrong with it. Ideally, langar should be made in sarvlo anyways. Haan ji.
Just a scenario, say, I think you're saying that Sarabha is like a supercharge, so you need to make a jiva, and Sarabha will give you something. Other way around is, so, seeing who's Sarabha, is it okay for a seeing who's not Sarabha, but keeps it there, to make food for himself?
Babek is necessary for any god's sake.
Sorry, I mean, the first thing is keep Babek in this scenario, right?
I'd like to make a difference between sarvabhavik and babek. Babek is important for anybody. Babek is essential. Sarvabhavik I think is essential as well, but the minimum is babek. This is necessary for any other time. Because just thinking about it, if there's someone who's like, I don't know, let's go for the extreme example. A fornicator to the max, a child molester, and he's prepared your McDonald's Happy Meal. Do you think this is going to have any beneficial effect on your spirituality? If you could choose, if a roti is a roti, would you choose a roti prepared by a Namavyasi Gursikh, or would you choose the roti by the child molester? Because there's no difference between a roti, right? Which would you choose? Right. We all know the story about Pailandavan. When Guru Nanak Dev Ji took two prasad. One was by Malik Pago, who earned his money through dishonest means, and the other was by Lalu, the god Sikh, who earned it through honest means. And when he squeezed it, if a roti is a roti, why did one have blood and why did the other come milk? If a roti is a roti. A roti is not a roti. Even scientific explanations, these people who read, all of us who read Gurmukh Singh's blog, he put up an article a few weeks ago about how water changes depending on the emotion someone has with it. Did anyone read this? Mm-hmm. Yes. So, our thinking and what is going through our mind when we're preparing food has a big effect. And if it's naam and varni, it'll make our own naam go. But you asked, what is...
The question was, two babiki saying, one sarvabhavik, the other one not sarvabhavik. And the non-sarvabhavik, prepare food in sarvabhavik, obviously.
Most Amritaris, including myself, will eat food prepared by Babeki Singh. Paisalanti Singh Ji had the same rule, that if someone is Babeki, not Sarvlohi, it's okay. But if some Singh decides that he's a Sarvlo Babeki and he will only eat from Sarvlo Babeki, I won't condemn him. When I went to India, there were some Singhs that wouldn't eat food prepared by me because I use milk, organic milk, and I know this is not totally right according to Vivek. And if someone chooses not to eat from me, that's totally their right. And I'm not going to feel offended by it because that's their right. If they think, you know, that's that, then that's what, that's okay. It's my own home if I say that you have to eat from me. Why am I force feeding someone?
So the milk thing is, some of the species will not have any milk at all?
If it's taken by another Amritari Singh.
Okay,
right. Yes.
That means when you put the unpart and the people doing it,
is that langar though? Would that be langar? If an amona, if someone that's not really into Sikhi is making guru ka langar, would that be langar?
But if some remote paper, there's absolutely no context, like the and then they're making langar,
I personally avoid langars that are not made according to that. But everyone has to come to their own decisions, I guess. I think that's the only eat of the other Amritari. I live in a mixed family. My father's Mona and I live at home at this point. I lived apart for 5 years for school and I'm moving out again in a week to go back to school. But for a year I've lived at home. And my parents, my father's a Mona and my mom, she's Kesari now, but they've been totally supportive. And if they see that Sikhi has made a difference in your life, if you're getting up at Amritsar and you're doing Bani and you're a better person for it, they won't mind if you do something like Buffet. But if you're getting up at 9, this is what a parent said to us at the Gurdwara Sahib about a saying that comes. She said, "Eh, 9 baje uthda, assi 6 baje uthde haan, te phir halle vi kahi janda thode ton khana." So that parents won't understand. But if you're getting up at Amritvela and you're doing Naam and Bani, then your parents will understand. I don't. Is it possible for one spouse in a marriage to take Amrit if the other spouse is not ready at the same time? Depends on the panch pyare. But usually there's a condition that the two will have no sort of intimate relations and they won't eat each other's juice. So that's a very difficult condition to follow for most couples. If your spouse is ready for Amrit, then I think, what's holding you back? I mean, you're supposed to be one soul and two bodies. And would Amrit do you any harm? Like when I first told my father I was 15 I want to become Amritari, the first thing he said about me was no. No. And a week later I said it again, and then he said yes. So a while later I said, what made you change your mind? He said, I thought about it. And I said, is he going to be a worse person after taking Amrit? And he said, no, he'll probably be a better person. And what's the worst that'll happen? That you end up breaking it? So that was his mentality, that Balpreet Singh won't become a worse person by taking Amrit, he'll only become better. So why not? Let it. I think if you're not ready for Amrit, just think about why you're not ready. But one spouse can take Amrit, it's just with that condition that they won't be intimate with their spouse and they won't share food or anything like that. An Amritari can only marry an Amritari of the same bed. Because a marriage is two wheels. And if the two wheels aren't working in tandem, that car is going to be unstable. That marriage will be unstable. But if they have the same bed, the same outlook, then that'll create a stable marriage. But if you are dedicated to Guru Sahib and the other is still debating whether they want to be dedicated to Guru Sahib, that's an imbalance. Because most people that even say that not now, a few years from now, a lot of the time they decide they don't want to, or it's just an excuse. So I would encourage anyone that's Amritari, it's a hukum in fact, sadaq, for an Amritari to only marry an Amritari. But even on a personal level, I'd encourage you, or whoever it is, not to do that. There's a lot of questions left, and I'll do one more, and that's it. I really want to do more though. How to concentrate on non-simran? Quick answer. go to the Panchayatra and they'll definitely have a method for you. There is a method. I was lost on this for so many years, but there is a method for it. Speak to other Amritaris about it. This Sangat, right? For example, there's a lot of good Sikhs that are staying in my door, by Sujit Singh and others. Go speak with other good Sikhs. Don't have any shame, because this is something that's most important in your life. Don't have any shame about asking about questions about spirituality. And whatever other good Sikhs know, that they'll be happy to share, because we're all brothers and sisters on the same path. We're happy to help each other. And if we can't ask each other to help each other, who is going to help us? Can you wear your kirpan in a gatara, or can you wear the belt? Rayat is to wear in a gatara. Rayat is to wear your kada, sarvlo kada, your sajahat. Rayat is to have a white kashara. And that is to keep all the four colors. I'm being very blunt and not trying to be diplomatic. Some people will say, you know, you're Taliban or whatever, but no. This is that how it's always been. If you look at any Puratan source, they'll always say, Sajya Hatvish Kada, Chitta Kashara, above the knees, Gatra, going across like this. I've only read Sajjaha. It's best to wear two. I agree completely. Most Go Sikhs will wear two, because it's just something very nice that you like to have. I had to change this kada for work, and honestly, it looks heavy, and when I put on a smaller kada, my hand didn't even feel like it was wearing a kada, and it was just like it's flying, it's like going everywhere, and I can't stand that feeling anymore. I like having two heavy kada. It makes me feel good. Will Guru Gobind Singh return to earth in human form? Never. That's not their kakad dastar. That's not their kakad though, right? You have to wear your kakad across like this. If you want to have a kirpan here and here and on the back and the front and your dastar, that's okay. But you have to have one in the proper place too. And Guru Gobind Singh Ji will never return in human form. Guru Gobind Singh Ji is here in spiritual form. If you want to have his darshan, many Go Sikhs have had Guru Sahib's darshan. Many. But Guru Gobind Singh Ji is not going to come back in human form and Nehkalank Avatar or some nonsense that the nuns are talking about now. Never. Because our Guru is eternal. Guru Granth Sahib Ji is all we need. Paisamanti Singh once did an adas that Guru Gobind Singh Ji, I'm going to sit through this Akhand Pat Sahib and all I want is your darshan at the end. And he actually sat through it, and he writes in his book that that was a mistake, that I had darshan and afterwards it frightened me, something shook in me. And I realized that I shouldn't ask for a physical darshan of Guru Sahib, I should ask to see the jyot. Because the physical darshan aren't what's important, the jyot is. And you can see that jyot in Guru Granth Sahib Ji, you can see it in Guru Nanak Dev Ji. The physical roop wasn't important. The fact is Guru Granth Sahib Ji's jyot is still there. If you want to go speak with Guru Granth Sahib Ji today, it's the same as you wanted to go speak to Guru Nanak Dev Ji back then. If you treat Guru Granth Sahib Ji as your Jyonda Jagda Guru Nanak, watch the difference that it makes. It doesn't mean treat it like an idol that you put a blanket, you put air conditioning, this. Because the Pothi Sarup of Guru Sahib doesn't need that. The human form had different needs and the Pothi form has different. So you don't need to do all that Pakhand and idol worship stuff. But if you speak to Guru Granth Sahib Ji the same way, you have the Pavna in your mind, this is Guru Nanak Dev Ji Jyot, then it'll be very beneficial for your spirituality. I'm really over time, and I'll put the rest of these questions back in the, I'll put them in the question box, and tomorrow I guess they'll be answered. Why did you come to